Hello and welcome to The Crumb, a podcast from Bake From Scratch magazine. We're here to talk baking in all forms, the people, the culture, and the baked goods that make us run to preheat our oven. Hello and welcome to The Crumb. I'm Kyle Grace Mills, the associate editor at Bake From Scratch magazine.
And I'm Brian Hart Hoffman, the editor-in-chief of Bake From Scratch magazine. And we're coming to you during a very odd time in our lives. We are in the middle of the global pandemic with the coronavirus, and it has affected everyday life, including being here at Hoffman Media and Bake From Scratch magazine. And we are sitting 15 feet apart, and we are in separate spaces coming to you for a special episode of The Crumb. And, you know, we just want to make sure we're being a voice of encouragement and support during a time that I think we all need it. And we're all navigating every day together. And I keep seeing a lot of people saying we are in this together. And I'm saying it to myself and to you and to my mom and to everyone that these are days none of us planned for and knew how to navigate. So we're truly in it together.
Absolutely. And there is an element of if you are an obsessive planner like I am, not knowing when something is going to end is not an option. You have to know the begin and end
right.
date. And of course, we don't have that for this. But you have to understand that it will end, and it'll end if you continue to do things to help the world, which is quarantine yourself, have social distancing, yep. be smart, be safe. And we're just trying to give you guys a little bit of comfort while you're being smart and safe at home with your families or with your roommates or by yourself. And baking is a big part of that. We have been so excited to see all the things you guys have been baking. It feels like, you know, on the upside, we've all had a little more time to devote to this hobby that we love so much.
Well, I just have to say for a moment, and I'm smiling and there's laughter in this, is I know you're baking out there because the grocery store shelves are empty of flour, sugar, yeast, chocolate chips. So I know you're baking. I am baking. I am baking ferociously at home. It is a therapy for me. It takes my mind off of things, but it also brings joy and happiness. And we talk about baking as happiness a lot, and I close every letter and email that I send with the words happy baking, because I've never seen someone receive a baked good or bake something and not be happy about it, unless the baking fails and then you're mad at yourself. But baking by and large brings happiness. And I know that during this time of, like you said, no end date right now for us to see on the horizon, we're doing everything we can to put smiles on anyone's face that we can. And baking is something that does that. So,
including right now, we're doing a banana baking bonanza.
I mean, over the years, you know, if you go back and listen to the clips of me on The Crumb or letters that I've written to readers, I talk obsessively about things I'm obsessed with, and banana baking is top of the list. We know I love hummingbird cake, and we'll get to that in a few weeks. But for now, we're doing a banana bread bonanza, and I chose my five favorite banana breads, and I'm baking my way through them on video on IGTV over at the Bake Feed. So if you're interested in watching some really fun banana breads come together and ideas for different mix-ins and things, I just think people love banana bread, and it's a comfort food. I know for me, I think about childhood and my mom making banana nut bread, and I used to beg for her to not do the nut part. So she would make two, one for my dad and brother that had banana nut, one for me that was just plain banana. But now that I bake all the time, I know how versatile and how adaptable banana breads are. And so I'm happy to be doing this banana bread bonanza and then eating all of said banana bread at home. So anyway, I will give you one spoiler alert. I think my favorite in the roundup is the black cocoa banana bread. It's also no secret that I'm obsessed with black cocoa. So there you have it. There's the mixture of all the things. What about you? I know you're also a banana bread lover. So we do share this as a common bond, but you're baking other things right now.
Yes. Yeah, so last year I made 12 banana breads each month for my brother. And so I'm a little banana breaded out maybe for another month. I'm just still giving it
time.
We'll
get you back.
But one of the things that we did last year was a snow day baking feature, which at the time we were like, oh, it's so perfect for snow day. Oddly enough, it's also
Corona
really
day
good.
Baking.
Yes, Corona day baking. So we had a dried herb ciabatta in there where you don't need fresh herbs. You can use your own batch of whatever dried herbs you have. We kind of had like an Italian mix. I decided to use herbs de Provence because I love the rosemary lavender combo. To me, there's something kind of savory and floral at the same time to it. And it takes like bread flour. I have a bunch of bread flour right now. I keep making milk bread, so I still have a lot left over. It calls for whole wheat bread flour, but whole wheat flour as well, but like a little bit. And if you don't have it, you can use all bread flour. It's totally fine. You make this poolish, which is the secret to all ciabatta, and it goes overnight. It looks super science project gooey. It's fun. And then the other secret, and thank the Lord, I've got tons Red Star yeast. I had a bunch of instant. I had a bunch of active. I can take my pick. I know a lot of you out there are desperately looking for yeast, and we have a lovely relationship with Red Star. They're, of course, the sponsors of this podcast, and they want you to know they have received your orders. They have that. They are on the way. They're literally just in transit. The yeast and all the good stuff is coming.
They told me they had such a surge, an unprecedented surge in sales at the grocery level, people trying to buy it from them. They have the inventory. It was never about the inventory or running out of product. It just was taken so quickly in the grocery stores that they are now replenishing the orders for all of the grocery chains. So you will soon see their product on the shelves if you haven't found it already. So your baking can continue. So that's good news.
Well, and today we have a special guest on.
We do. So with everything going on with the coronavirus and the global pandemic that we're dealing with, social distancing measures are more important than ever. But we wanted to talk with someone in the baking world who will have some answers for us on how we can help our local bakeries and businesses during this critical time.
We're bringing on Joanne Chang, the James Beard Award-winning pastry chef behind Flower Bakery in Boston.
Joanne has over 7 different flour bakeries in Boston. She knows firsthand how this pandemic and quarantine measures are affecting the bakery world because she's in it.
Yes. And she has mentioned she has over 500 employees.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small army that she's having to shepherd and look after. And on top of all that, she's a groundbreaking cookbook author. Her cookbook Pastry Love was one of our favorite releases from last year, and we're going to be tapping into her for knowledge from home baking ideas, because we know you guys are sitting at home and wondering, you know, some good ideas of what to be baking. Hint, rice pudding. Don't knock it. You've got rice.
You've got to try it.
You got to try it.
Well, with that, let's turn our conversation and chat with Joanne.
Hello, Joanne, and welcome to The Crumb.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so excited to chat with you. And even in the midst of everything going on in the world with the pandemic and how things are affecting businesses, we still remain so committed to our friendship with you and our support of your books and your bakeries and on a broader stroke, the entire industry. And our thoughts and our energy and our creative passions are all turning to you and your colleagues that are bakery owners and pastry chefs and people affiliated in the restaurant and retail baking space. And we just really, really admire what we're seeing you and other people do. And I know it's coming from a place of passion and dedication. And we are just so thankful to have you with us today.
Absolutely. I am thrilled to be here as well. I think that all of us in this industry are in it because we love to connect with people. And the last month or so has really ripped our hearts out, not being able to connect in the way that we're so used to. And I think everybody is struggling to find the best way, struggling to stay afloat and just figure out how to how to exist in this hopefully very temporary new normal until we can go back to somewhat of a more regular existence.
Absolutely. And, you know, I keep saying to my colleagues and to people that I'm friends with, just none of us know how to navigate this because we've never done it before. This is something that's turned all of us upside down, and we're navigating each new day with continued passion and dedication, but navigating waters that are so unfamiliar. And, you know, for you, we want to know from you how we can help motivate our audience to support their local bakeries right now. What can people do to help? That is a question that I'm hearing time and time again, and I turn that to you. How can we help?
I think that's so indicative of the place in people that bakeries touch. I think people are so, they have such good memories of baked goods, and I think when you see the neighborhood bakery either having to close or operating on a much reduced scale, I think it really affects people, not just obviously the bakery owners, but all of our guests. And I think what you can do to help, it really depends on where you are. In some neighborhoods, in some cities, you know, bakeries aren't allowed to be open. And if that's the case, then I urge you to try to support them by buying gift cards, by knowing that at some point they will reopen, and the money that you are giving them now in a gift card is potentially helping them pay some of their rent or keep the payroll going. If you have a neighborhood bakery that is still operating, but just takeout only, then I urge you to try to patronize them as often as you can. You know, for a lot of us, we're used to doing takeout. A lot of people, you know, like to dine in, but plenty of people love to get baked goods and cakes and stuff and carry them out. So it's not entirely new for a lot of us to be in this part of the business, but the reduction in sales is something that really has been impacting everybody. I mean, we currently have temporarily closed voluntarily, and we're trying to figure out how we can reopen, but we know that when we do, the sales volume will be a lot less than what we're used to. So, you know, if you have a neighborhood bakery that you like to go to before all this happened and they're still operating, you know, keep going, order more stuff than you normally would, you know, try to bring some stuff to friends. I just think that anybody who is operating, they need as much business as possible.
Absolutely. I echo that same sentiment and really love hearing you say that as well. And, you know, hearing that you voluntarily closed the flour bakeries in Boston, how can people that want to support you, how can they engage with you right now? Are there things that you're doing online to encourage people to, you know, buy gift cards, or are you selling any ingredients? I mean, we're seeing a lot of creativity in the world right now, and how are you handling it at your locations?
So we voluntarily closed on May 18th and immediately realized that we needed to create a fund for our staff. We have a lot of staff for which they can apply for unemployment, but it might not cover all of their expenses. We have a lot of staff who, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they haven't worked with us long enough, or they don't, for just various reasons, they can't apply for unemployment. And so right now our online shop page is open. It's flourishing. I am here in our production kitchen, which is currently empty, and I'm signing hundreds and hundreds of cookbooks. We have 5 cookbooks. All of our online sales shop items are going, the proceeds are all going to our team relief fund. And so we're going to be passing out this money with the next paycheck run that would have happened, so that people have some money to pay for groceries and rent and all of that. And so you can buy gift cards from us, flourbakery.com. You can buy cookbooks. We still have granola. We're starting to sell ingredients, because we've heard that some places you can't get flour and you can't get sugar, and so we're going to start doing that as well. You can buy also a donation, just straight up donation directly into the fund. Some of our loyal guests have been so generous donating money without even expecting, you know, a gift card or a book in return, and just wanting to help us and help our team, which has been amazing.
All of those are wonderful ways, and I hope everybody who's listening is taking note. But I know another predicament that a lot of home bakers are struggling with is baking at home, you know, with egg shortages, with flour shortages, with dairy shortages. You being an amazingly resourceful baker, how can you give some advice for troubleshooting these problems, and what are some great recipes they can tackle? You know, what do you recommend people try out when, you know, resources are a little bit lower than normal?
I think it depends on what specifically you're low on. I was taking a look through some of the books, just trying to imagine. We're fortunate here in Boston in that the grocery stores are still stocked up with all of the things you need to bake. But I was looking at some of the recipes for some vegan items that we have. You know, if you don't have dairy, if you don't have eggs, we have a low-fat chocolate cake recipe that's really amazing. We have a almond macaroon recipe that just uses sugar, almonds, a little bit of a pinch of salt, and then it uses the cooking liquid of beans. And I know that right now a lot of people are, you know, cooking a lot with beans and trying to stretch their grocery dollar. So if you're cooking beans, or if you have a can of beans, save that cooking liquid, save the liquid the beans are in. And you can actually use that. It's called aquafaba, as an egg substitute in baking. So I think that's a pretty cool way to kind of stretch your dollar and still continue to bake.
Yeah, I know that aquafaba is a great vegan thing. It's particularly associated with chickpeas, soaking chickpeas and cooking chickpeas into that. But a lot of people, I think, you know, have stayed away from vegan recipes for so long. They're like, why would I need this? But it is an interesting thing to consider that a lot of people have been living this lifestyle without certain flours and dairy products by choice for a long time. And they've got a lot of great recipes you can use as a resource.
Right. Exactly.
So let's talk about your cookbook, Pastry Love, which our listeners can order right now. And as you mentioned, goes to that fund for your workers. And, you know, deliver some home inspiration. It's described as a very personal cookbook. And a lot of it is, you know, while tied to your bakery, the things that you couldn't necessarily serve in your bakery. And we'd love to know some of the personal recipes in it that kind of make up Pastry Love and what's so special about this cookbook.
Yeah, so this cookbook, honestly, I wasn't even planning on writing it. I have felt like every book that I've written, I've kind of poured everything I have into it. So with this book, I just thought, before it was even a book, I was like, I don't have enough recipes. There's nothing left. And then I started to just kind of go through all of my journals. And I have like paper journals, like we all used to have. But then I also have notes on my iPhone, and I have a little like saved spot on my Instagram where I saved ideas that I want to play around with. And I started to go through all of those different resources. And I realized I do have a lot of recipes that are very personal to me that I haven't really shared that would make a great baking journal for people. And so, for example, there's a chiffon cake with whipped cream and strawberries. Super, super simple. And I mean, honestly, I think it's one of my favorite cakes ever. And I was testing this recipe, getting it ready for the book about the same time that my mom and my dad were in town for a couple of months because my mom was having some knee surgery. And it was one of the recipes that I brought to her when she came out of surgery. And just the look on her face when I brought it to her, the fact that, you know, she didn't really have much of an appetite, but she ended up eating like almost half of the cake.
Yeah.
Like for me, that recipe just really, like, you know, makes me feel so good when I look at that picture and when we make that cake. So that's one that I really love. A lot of the recipes are from my travels with my husband. There's a recipe for a mango curd and mango ice and a coconut rice pudding. We were in Thailand a couple years ago and just had mangoes and coconut rice pudding every single day. And so I wanted to recreate some version of that. So that's in the book. There's just like a lot of really fun things. There's easy recipes. There's more complicated recipes. But there really is something for everyone in this book.
I love it. You know, I devour every page of your books, and I really, really loved Pastry Love and seeing that personal side of you, because, you know, in the industry and in you know, your personality of, you know, people know you through the bakery and they know so much about your work by lining up and going in flour. But then to see Pastry Love come from that personal angle, it is like you've been in the home kitchen with you. And I really love it and applaud you for digging deep and going back into that inspiration side of your world to put things on the page for all of us to bake. And I know that it's bringing comfort to all the people buying the books right now. And I'm so happy to hear that you're sitting in the bakery right now signing hundreds of books. That's what we want people doing is supporting you and supporting, you know, other bakers and people with cookbooks or products on their websites. It really is the way we can continue to, you know, send virtual hugs to our friends in the baking world. And from me, I want to ask you in closing our conversation, what are some words of wisdom you can give to people at home right now? And what are you telling your family and friends? Because that probably is the true expression of your heart.
Yeah, you know, we are connected to our 500 team members almost daily. I send out an update. My husband and I kind of confer at the end of each night and say, okay, what news do we have for the teams? And we just try to stay connected with them because I know so many of them, none of us have ever gone through anything like this before, but so many of them, really, this is the first like really big, you know, crisis on their hands. And so what we're telling our teams and what I would tell everybody is that, you know, I put this in pastry love, like staying connected to people, whatever means that is, it is truly what is important in life. And for me, it's through baking, it's through making amazing things that, you know, maybe I verbally can't communicate to somebody or connect with somebody as well as I can in making something really delicious for them. And so I think for everybody to just really cherish the connections that you have in your life right now with your family and friends, and to be there for each other and to think positive thoughts and support each other. And just know that we will get through this, but we need to all rely on each other. And, you know, for anybody who's thinking that they can get through this with, you know, by themselves, there's no way and there's no reason. I think that we all need to be leaning on each other and reaching out to our friends and just sharing as much love and joy and happiness, even though it's such a tough time. You know, that's what we do on a normal day. Like, we're sharing love and joy and happiness through baked goods. And now we don't have that opportunity. So gosh, have it come from your heart and just, you know, stay positive and just take it one day at a time. I mean, that's what we're doing here. One day at a time. We're just going to get through this one day at a time. And slowly things will get better. And we'll look back on this and have learned so much and grown so much. And things will get better. This I am confident. I'm confident things will get better.
We join you in that statement. And we are also confident. And that's why we're so happy to be a part of the baking community with you and so many other amazing, talented bakers. And to home bakers and professional bakers alike, there's such a joy and a happiness that comes from what we do. And, you know, even in the midst of these times, it's still okay to smile. It's still okay to be happy. And sharing baked goods with people is definitely a way we share from our hearts. And Joanne, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and for, you know, us taking you away from signing books. You've got a lot you've got to get out and keep supporting that fund for your employees. I think that's just such a remarkable thing to do. And we're so thankful that you took time to chat with us.
Thank you so much for letting me just be on this. I mean, just connecting with you has been so, so wonderful and uplifting for me. You know, it's just so hard as we're all like kind of sequestered. It's so great just to talk to you, and thank you for what you're doing as well.
Oh, thank you. We can't wait to see you when all this is over. I'll show up in Boston.
I know. I can't wait.
All right. Thanks, Joanne. Have a great day.
Okay. Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Such an inspiration to hear from her. Such a reality check to chat with her. And to understand the measures and links that she and so many entrepreneurs and bakery owners are going to right now to take care of their own. And I think that's one of the most motivating things that I have witnessed from friends of mine here in Birmingham that are restaurant and bakery owners, to watching social media and following people in the baking world that are doing anything and everything they can, not for themselves, but for their team of people that can't be at work because the bakeries aren't open. I have so much more respect for not just Joanne. I mean, Joanne, absolutely, but the bakery world wide over right now, and really just businesses in general. My heart and thoughts are with everyone, and I'm so inspired by the daily motivation and reminders that we're gonna get through this together, and she is a bright spot in that conversation. I will say, watching bakeries answer the call for ingredient shortages has been another way that we can support our local bakeries. I know here in Birmingham, Bandit Patisserie is selling farm eggs by the dozen. I believe they're going to start selling some flour and other ingredients that we're finding as shortages. And I really applaud that measure when the bakeries can't be open and churning business at the speed they're accustomed to. They are now able to sell some of those ingredients to consumers that are baking at home. So it really is that bridge to the baking world. We're not segmented by home bakers and bloggers and bakery owners and magazine publishers. We are all in it together, and bakers helping bakers is going to be a way we see it through with a smile on our face. So
yeah. And, you know, for our part, we're going to offer a little bit of baking help just to close this out. We know, as we mentioned at the top, there are a lot of things missing from the grocery store right now. We don't have a lot of flour. We are losing eggs. We're losing butter and milk.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all trying to figure out ways to adapt recipes, because the thing about baking is, yes, it's an exact science, but there's a lot of things you can substitute, especially with dairy. The number one thing we get is with our quick breads, with our banana breads, we will call for sour cream or cream fraiche. You can also use yogurt.
It needs to be a plain full-fat yogurt.
Preferably not Greek yogurt. I know that sometimes Greek yogurt, the chemicals and the little enzymes are a little more active than other ones. But a plain full-fat yogurt would be a fine substitution for sour cream or cream fraiche. And then the other big one is regular milk versus buttermilk. You can make buttermilk out of regular milk. You take one cup milk, you add a tablespoon of distilled white vinegar or lemon juice, voila, that's your buttermilk right there.
Yeah, and you know, I think that in and of itself is a light bulb moment, because in the South, we have full-fat buttermilk in all of our grocery stores. But we hear from a lot of people, when we call for a whole buttermilk, they say, can I use non-fat? I can't find, you know, the full fat where I live. I always say you need to make your own. So, you know, use the whole milk, add the lemon juice or the white vinegar. But then I know Bob's Red Mill has an amazing powdered buttermilk, and it works perfectly. You know, follow the instructions for how to mix it with water, but it works perfectly in recipes. So that's another solution too for when you can't find buttermilk, or you just want to stock the powder because you're not going to use the whole carton of the buttermilk. You know, some people just don't have any other use for it.
Right. And there are so many people that are running low on butter. Go back to your old granny recipes that use Crisco or vegetable oil or even olive oil. Those cakes are just as tender and delicious, and you know, you may haven't tried them in a long time. Like I think the Hershey's classic Hershey's cake is just boiling water and like vegetable oil, and that cake is super tender and delicious, no butter required.
Yeah, oil cakes, they really do have, I don't want to say the best texture, but by and large, when there is oil in a cake or a loaf, you get such a really great moist crumb on it. And I am always on team moist cake and loaf and not dry and crumbly.
And they last longer because they don't have that dairy in that, which we can go rancid. They do last longer on the countertop. So if you're thinking about a cake you want to go back to over the week, it's really better to make a vegetable oil cake.
And then if you don't have eggs, half of a banana mashed will work in a recipe for an egg substitute.
So for a lot of recipes, the egg is a binder, really. It's so for like cookie dough and things like that, you're really just using the egg to bind it all together. And you can use so many other sticky, sweet substances to actually bind it together. So like sometimes it's a little bit of peanut butter, like 3 tablespoons of peanut butter, or it's that mashed banana to glue it together. Alas, if it is something like a sponge cake or anything meringue. You obviously need an egg for that, but that's where the protein of the egg is important, not necessarily the binding qualities. So just look at the recipe and see if it's a recipe that needs actually the protein of the eggs for the structure, or if it's a recipe that's really just using it to bind the ingredients together. And that's when you know you can make a substitution very easily.
And if you have any more questions for us and ways that we can help navigate the baking world right now with you, you can always reach out to us on Instagram at The Bake Feed, or you can send an email to bakefromscratch@hoffmanmedia.com. And we will read these daily and try to respond to you as quickly as we can so that you are getting answers and solutions for substitutions and ideas for how you can keep baking and putting smiles on your and other people's faces. So just to remind everyone, you know, we are trying to address everyday concerns with you, for you, and provide ideas and inspiration as best we can. We are doing videos to spend time in our own kitchens, but virtually hanging out with you in the kitchen. Please send ideas. Please have conversation with us. I want everyone reaching out to people you know and love right now, because isolation and quiet times are not always a positive for people. If you're like me and you are an extreme extrovert, these are difficult times to restrict the socialization and the connectivity that we find face to face with people. So,
yeah. And if you're me and you're an extreme introvert and you've secretly been reveling in this, don't forget about your extrovert friends and the people that are important in your life, and still stay connected, because, you know, you take for granted those little communications you make every day as an introvert. And now's the time to realize how they build up your life.
Well, we thank everyone for listening, and thank you for joining us for this somewhat special episode of The Crumb as we address what is happening in the world today and home bakers and how we're all joining together. And please send us your ideas. Please continue listening. Please let us know what you want to hear more of. And as always, we wish you happy baking, and thank you for listening.
If you liked our podcast, please rate, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. To keep up with all of our baking endeavors, follow our editor-in-chief and co-host, Brian, on Instagram at Brian Hart Hoffman. You can follow Bake From Scratch on Instagram at The Bake Feed. For online recipes and fresh baking content, go to our website, bakefromscratch.com, and sign up for our newsletter, Preheat. Finally, for in-real-life baking inspiration, grab our magazine on newsstands or subscribe through our website.